Last week, 1,400 Kellogg's workers across plants in four states rejected a tentative deal with the company. In response, Kellogg says they're planning to hire workers to permanently replace those striking. In a written statement, President Joe Biden says he's, quote, deeply troubled by what he considers, quote, an existential attack on the union and its members' jobs and livelihoods. Kellogg's workers first walked off the job in the beginning of October in the midst of a surge of high-profile work stoppages dubbed by the media Striketober. A strike by over 10,000 John Deere workers ended when those workers agreed to a contract last month, and the first-of-its-kind Starbucks union formed last week in Buffalo. So why have the Kellogg's workers not been able to achieve the same gains as some of their fellow organizers? With me now is Dave Jamieson, labor reporter at HuffPost. Thanks for being here, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
Dave, why didn't Kellogg's workers accept the tentative agreement offered last week?
So this fight really revolves around something known as a two-tier system. Inside Kellogg's right now, they have a system where not all workers are treated equally. They have legacy employees who are on a better pay scale and get better benefits than newer workers known as transitional employees. And this has been a really acrimonious thing inside Kellogg's and inside the union. And the union is very determined to get rid of the system and have all workers treated on the same scale. While Kellogg's at first initially proposed growing the system, lately they have offered making some tweaks to it that may put some of those newer workers on the better pay scale. But workers are still concerned that the way the company wants to structure this, that this lower tier inside the company is going to continue to grow over time. So this two-tier system is really why this strike has dragged on as long as it has.
You know, you hear the word transitional worker and you think, oh, you know, maybe they're seasonal workers or, you know, they're there just for part of the year. But I was struck to see that in this initial deal, it would have moved some transitional workers who've been there 4 years or more into the legacy role. So what exactly does transitional mean?
That's right. And a real interesting piece of this is I talked to workers who said they know very few of transitional employees who've even been around for 4 years and would qualify to move into the legacy roles. So it's not hard to see why these systems can be so contentious, because you have newer employees who look up at the legacy employees, seeing them making a lot more money, and that the difference in the pay scale can be around $12 for these two different classes. They have better pension and health benefits. So it's understandable to see that there would be resentment. And even if you kind of flip that, put yourself in the perspective of the legacy employees, a lot of them are concerned that if the lower tier grows over time, eventually they're going to outnumber the legacy employees. And so they have to wonder, well, if that class becomes bigger, are they going to look out for my interests and my pension and my health benefits when the company comes after that?
Can Kellogg's legally hire permanent replacement workers?
It depends. In the U.S., it is generally legal for employers to hire permanent replacements for strikers. And this goes back to a Supreme Court decision in the 1930s. And ever since then, this has been a part of the law that has really benefited employers. Like, the whole idea of a strike is that both sides are supposed to feel pain, right? The workers are giving up wages and the company is giving up production. And this is going to go on until they both have decided they've had enough pain that they're going to reach a fair agreement. The ability of companies to bring in replacements who permanently take the jobs of strikers kind of throws off the balance of that. And so if you're a striker or you're considering going on strike, this is something that's in the back of your mind. Like, am I going to possibly lose my job forever over this? And it's often seen as a very dirty move by employers, frankly. For many years, it really wasn't done much, even though employers generally had the legal right to do it. That kind of changed in the 1980s. We saw employers become more aggressive about doing this. And now we see Kellogg's doing it, and we see it getting, frankly, a lot of political attention the way that it once used to.
Yeah, I'm interested here in the president's decision to weigh in, even in a written statement. I mean, certainly, you know, working class Joe has a particular reputation around the protection of unions and around his support for working class interests that will undoubtedly be important for him and for the Democrats come fall. But I do wonder, you know, given that we saw some of these other high profile strikes, you know, ultimately resolve, why he decided to speak in this moment?
I think he spoke out because this strike has gone on for quite some time now. Kellogg's has taken a very aggressive position, and Joe Biden, frankly, knows the history around replacement workers. Back in the 1990s, there was a push among Democrats to change the law and to forbid companies from bringing in permanent replacements. I think Joe Biden probably remembers that quite well. So I think it was notable to see him weigh in like this, at least from the bully pulpit. He's taken a strong position to help unions. He spoke out sort of obliquely, but very prominently when it came to the Amazon union election earlier this year. And I think unions are kind of wisely pushing him in the right direction on a lot of these things. And I was talking to a Kellogg's worker yesterday who said that after the president issued his statement and made news with it, that they saw an uptick in funds coming into their strike fund. But he also said, you know, we hope there's follow-up to this because the words are great, but we really need help on the ground.
Okay. Put two sort of, you know, labor stories that have been in the media together for me. And that's this language of Striketober throughout the month of October. And then this notion of the Great Resignation. Put those two aspects together for me.
I think the tight labor market is absolutely a factor here in the strikes we've seen. And to be clear, we've had a bunch of high-profile strikes that have gotten a lot of attention. The overall number of strikes is, historically speaking, is not very high. And the reason for that is because there aren't many union members out there left in the private sector. They're down to around 6% at this point. So we just don't have strikes in the numbers we used to in the post-war years after World War II. It was normal to have 2 million workers go out on strike in a single year. It's generally a fraction of that now. But with everything that's going on in the labor market, with the pandemic, I think a lot of workers feel the winds have shifted in their favor. And I know for a fact that at John Deere and at Kellogg's, the workers looked around and they could see that it was going to be hard for their employers to replace them in this climate if they wanted to.
Dave Jamieson is a labor reporter at HuffPost. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.